Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with you. And, you know, we continue to see the same things over and over again. And of course, everybody's talking about the great week that our great leader, Mr. Obama, had last week with all of the Supreme Court rulings and backing that ridiculous Obamacare. And, you know, as I've been talking about running for president, I'm going to make a run at it as the American candidate from my party. And I want to do it with no, I'm not looking for any donations. I want to do it through word of mouth. And I want, you know, I have put some videos out there and I need your help to move them along and to create. And soon I'll have the petition to get myself on the ballot. But I'll need all the help I can get. If you believe in the message that we deliver here on the Bubba Show, and if you believe in the message when you hear me, then please help and pass it on. And that's where, you know, we want to go. I want to go back to the grassroots type of campaign. I don't want donations. I want to do it this way and see if it can be done, because again, my fear is watching this great country of ours taken into being held hostage by the politicians who have one interest in mind, which is to steal the money. I mean, that's, again, you know, you can call it what you want. But somehow the trickle-down effect, the job that they were assigned to do, they are not doing. I just don't see it. I'm not happy with it. And I do believe that I can make a difference. I think that we need to, it has to start somebody, somewhere, with somebody who is willing to do it for the love of the country and not for the love of themselves. I don't want to be looking in the mirror saying what a great guy I am. What I want is I want to bring back the business to become the capitalistic nation that we are, where every person can have a shot at success. And what we've really done over the last, you know, number of years, but especially in recent history, is we have shut out the middle class. We have shut out the ability to really go to the next level, which has created on its own a whole bunch of new offshoot businesses of these loan stores that have usury rates, these forcing people to use credit cards, education, college education with costs skyrocketing. I mean, do you realize what is going on here and what we have to do to just get by? I mean, I don't understand how a family or parents can actually send their children to school without having to mortgage the rest of their lives with these ridiculous tuition bills. I mean, can you imagine the amounts of money, and I don't understand why we've let it get this far out of hand. I don't understand why we, the people, don't step up and say enough, because in my opinion, it is enough. In my opinion, we have seen a destruction of the American dream because we have taken away the channels in which every man, woman, and young adult can get to where they want to go. And we've handed it over to the few. Okay? And in this country, from what I remember, from the Constitution, from running businesses, from watching it all, it's supposed to be all about the mass. I mean, again, we know that there's always going to be more people that are successful, more, and there's always the rich, which is fine. That's, you know, that's part of what happens. And when you get to the part when you're the rich, you should get some special benefit because you got there. But just because the rich are being benefited should not take away the opportunity from the small and the middle class and the poor. Because, again, where else can you go with nothing and end up with something? And that, to me, is being prevented to allow people to have that dream. And I know one thing. When you take away hope, when you take away the opportunity to dream, you've taken away a big piece of a personality. You've taken away the heart of somebody. You know, we talk about in sports a lot, you know, the guys that are the best are the guys that have heart, because we all have abilities. And the question is, what do you do with those abilities? And what I've seen is I've seen the destruction of the political system. I've seen the destruction of the America we know and love. I've seen the destruction of our dollars. I've seen nothing but troubles that have been created by our government. And it's time now to step up and say, screw the government. Let's make it this country, and let's go back to work. Let's make it where we can get away from these Ponzi schemes. Because, you know, you watch these series about Ponzi schemes, and what does the government run now? They run a legalized Ponzi scheme because they can do the things that they can wait for money to come in through taxes and print money while they're waiting. If they don't have enough, they can print some more. And that, if you look up the definition of what a Ponzi scheme is, you will see the picture of what we're doing. Because what we're doing now is not working. What we're doing now is a failure. It's a failure to create growth and opportunity in the American way of how we began. And that is what I want to get back to, the beginning, with smaller government and operational government that actually works to make things better for everybody. And that is what I'm looking for, and that's what I want you to do. So I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I am going to run for president, but I'm going to need a lot of help from everybody out there. But that's my message today. There'll be a new video coming out this week, but we are now going to step out for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Wow. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know, I got a special treat today. I always, one of my favorite people in the entire industry, and one of my really good friends that I have just so much tremendous respect for, Angie Miles, CBOE-TV, but really a lot more than just CBOE-TV. What's up, Angie?
Good to be here. I love doing the shows with you, so thank you for having me on your show. Much appreciated.
You know, it's great to have you on, and you've got always a good pulse on, you know, the options market, which me, I'm an options trader, and you know, I do trade everything, but you know, options are still my specialty. In fact, I do a lot of, you know, I do a lot of consulting to major hedge funds on how to use options, because most don't know how to use them. But so, Angie, so I know you've got a new show which I wanted to talk to you about, actually covering the Russell, and we know on Friday the Russell had to rebalance and do some of their things. Tell us about the show and tell us how it's going, and give us what the scoop is.
Well, I love the show. It's called The Russell Report, and I'm doing the show for the Chicago Board Options Exchange, so you can find me at cboetv.com. Last Friday, a lot of excitement. The Russell was reconstituted. It was completed after the close yesterday. I'm sorry. It was completed after the close on Friday. But as you know, that means that portfolio managers who are trying to keep up with the action in the Russell, they had to rebalance their own portfolios. So there was a flurry of activity at the close, just before the bell on Friday last week, because of the newly reconstituted Russell coming into effect after the close. So here we are with a new Russell trading. And as you know, the Russell has been hot. Since the last reconstitution process, that was June 2014, ending on June 5th of 2015, the Russell gained 7.3%. Now, the Russell, of course, made up of small cap stocks, smaller companies, a big reflection of the overall American economic growth. So small companies in America, very sturdy, very strong, doing well, and the Russell has been plowing higher. We saw a record close last week, a record high reached at 1,296. And if you take a look at a chart, you'll see that the Russell has been just rocketing higher. So this has been a great play, something I learned from doing this show and talking to traders and money managers who have clients who are just average Joes love the Russell. In fact, one of my traders said that his clients are obsessed with a Russell. So it trades with the options at CBOE, and that ticker symbol is RUT. So I talk about the options moves happening in the Russell every Friday on the website at cboetv.com. And one of the things that I noted on my show last Friday is that major investors were setting up for the jobs numbers for for June that will be coming out. And they were really seeking protection as far as buying some downside puts that were way out of the money, such as the 1,225 strike. But at the same time, there are people out there who want the exposure to the upside in RUT. So they're buying way out of the money calls, well above 1,300. So it could be really an interesting week to watch the Russell. But I just love that it's made up of these smaller time companies, and they're doing very, very well. And some of the names that were added to the Russell include Etsy, GoDaddy, and Lululemon. And then some of the names that were deleted in the rebalance of the Russell are Apostol, Arch Coal has not performed well. You know, the Coals have been weak. And then Molly Corp, which, of course, recently filed for bankruptcy protection. So, of course, you know, the Russell managers take a look at that and they think, we got to kick these out. We want a strong performing index. And there you go.
And, you know, it is in Bubba's theory, just so you know, Bubba's theory is always when the Russell is the strongest, that's when the market is in the most bullish position, because as we both know from being around the industry for so long, is small cap stocks can, you know, for example, you know, small cap stock can go from to 20 to 80 in a year without much trouble, versus a big cap that, you know, it might go from, you know, 20 to 30 if you're lucky, and it's a miracle. So that's where typically a lot of the action goes. And as we saw last year, The Russell actually went into correction mode before turning around as it was leading the market lower, and then immediately turned around and, of course, has now made subsequently new highs. And now, as we look in order, and this is, you know, as bearish as I am and still am, but as I look at it and why I'm telling people to wait patiently for the opportunities, because now if you list the exchanges in order of strength, the Russell is number one. The NASDAQ is number two, the S&P is number three, and the Dow is number four. So when the Dow is the weakest, that actually indicates that the markets are probably a little bit stronger and there are people looking for bullish positions just for those reasons, because when you're going into Dow stocks and safety stocks, it means you're actually taking some money off the table and trying to putting into some stronger dividend plays. What do you think of that theory?
I think it's a great theory, and I'd love to even hear you talk more about why it is that traders are always so focused on these smaller caps. You know, why do that when you could be looking at, oh, I don't know, maybe a Microsoft or a GE or, you know, some other big names out there? Why is that important to you as a trader?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, when you're a trader, not an investor, now you have to always differentiate right. The two, because, you know, you're basically a market spokesperson. You understand the markets, but you're really someone who deals with inside the markets. But as a trader, okay, you're looking for stocks that have more action and that give you that high volatility, that chance to make a ton of money on any one trade. And unfortunately, you cannot make a ton of money trading in Microsoft or stocks like that because they just don't move enough. They don't have enough, you know, movement up and down, back and forth, and you don't have enough volatility to really trade those. So they don't create those opportunities. You know, although they are good companies, you know, in fact, when I'm doing my teaching, the stocks I always tell everybody to stay away from if you're going to be an options trader is you stay away from Microsoft, Intel, Cisco, and companies like that. And not because there's anything wrong with the company, but when you're trading, you want the opportunity for big movement, and you're not going to usually get it in those types of stocks, which is why traders love the small caps, because they give them the best opportunity to make a lot of money out of a little money.
And then I would also mention at the same time, and the Russell managers have been talking about this, is one of the names that was originally in the Russell would be Amazon. At one point, that was a small company, and now it's a mega cap. So as an average investor who went early on a Russell play, they've made a lot of money, you know, just owning the Russell and watching it grow with some of these small cap names that have become superstars in the market.
Oh, you're 100% right. I mean, again, the Russell is a great index to trade. And again, if you're looking, you know, that's why when you talk as an investor, you know, you diversify, you should have some exposure to an index like the Russell, because you do have, I mean, look at Arch Coal. You mentioned it earlier. Now, Arch Coal was a high flyer way back when. And of course, you know, because of what's going on in the current administration and what's going on with the environment, people are saying no coal, we don't want it. And of course, the coal stocks are basically almost all out of business, basically. I mean, Walters Energy, Arch Coal, and all of them are, you know, now have become from big players to penny stocks. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But that is how the small cap, you know, those are like, you know, angel investors kind of deals, right? They're people that are trying to build companies and they get to that small cap state, and their objective obviously is to become a big cap and grow up with the market. And so, but that's where you find the most amount of opportunity to get big returns, more than you would normally get. Because it's funny, Angie, as we look back over the last 6 months in trading, and we've been in just a really nasty consolidation range in the big markets. And again, the Russell is a small cap, so it's not really in the big market, but it is the best trading market. But what we've seen, believe it or not, is the 16 most widely held stocks that pay dividends over the last 6 months are down on average about 8%. The leader to the downside is Walmart, down 20%. And if there's only two winners out of that group, and the winner happens to be Target, up 8%. But overall, that is telling you that people are willing to be, as they talk about, you hear a lot, the risk on, risk off trade. And right now, apparently, people are looking to put more risk on. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. And the Dow is struggling. And isn't it interesting? And I also love this about the market right now. I think it's an individual stock pick. It's a picker's market, stock picker's market. You mentioned some names. McDonald's is another name. Facebook has been an outstanding stock of late. That's been a gainer.
That is a hold that thought, because Angie's going to stick around with us because she loves me, and we're going to have some fun, and I want to hear more from her, because I don't get to talk to her as often as I used to, because I really miss being on her show when I was on every Wednesday. I love being on there. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horowitz. I am with Angie Miles from CBOE TV. She does options on Monday, and she does the Russell Now on Friday. Gotta love her, gotta watch her. The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. I'll be right back with Angie right after the break.
You're so delicious. You're so soft. Sweet on the tip of my tongue. You taste like sunlight and strawberry bubble gum.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Angie Miles, CBOE TV, Mondays with Options, and now Friday's brand new show on the Russell. And of course, you know from listening to the Bubba Show that Bubba loves the Russell either one way or the other, because in my eyes, it's a wonderful indicator. So Angie, as we're going to break, you were talking about, yeah, you know, some of the great stocks, and of course, Facebook, yeah, just on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always liked, right, Facebook, and I, right, I loved it even on your show when it was down in the low 20s. And then, of course,
that was the buy of a lifetime.
Yeah, you know, I missed out. You know, I didn't hold it all the way, but, you know, I do, right, like it. But I think up here, maybe it's just a little frothy. But, you know, it's funny. You watch, right, and once you got through 80, it was like a nonstop run right to 88. And it's just really incredible. What do you think is driving Facebook like that?
You know, I think that they're rolling out so many incredible new programs. You know, I think that they're figuring out new ways to do advertising that I think are going to work, and I love that they're adding more video content. I think people do want great video content because it's true, people are watching, you know, more on their mobile devices. So these are smart people, and I just love that they're aggressive and progressive, and they don't just sit on their laurels. They're always looking for something new, and I think there's believers in it. And honestly, you know, there was a moment where people were saying, oh, you know, the young kids aren't on Facebook anymore, and yet, I don't see any slowdown. I mean, I know people, and they're still chatting away on Facebook every day. It just has not slowed down, in my estimation. I'd love to see the numbers. I've not done any huge homework on it, but I can just tell you from my own personal experience that people love to connect. They love to find old friends. They love to plan their class reunions and family reunions. And this is summer, and that's what people are doing. So as long as you can monetize that, it's all good. Hey, I'm going to give myself a quick plug if that's okay. I am on CBOETV.com every day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So please guide me. That's cool. That's cool. I know you've got so many gigs going on. I know you're so busy, plus you're trying to trade, so you have a lot you're keeping up with. But, yeah, definitely join me sometime. And I'd love to have you back on that show as well. That was terrific when you would come down to the exchange and be on the trading floor with me. And it was a lot of fun. I think we need to talk about Netflix, too.
We do. And I do want to say that I would always come down on your show, but I only was invited on Monday, so I didn't know that it was more.
But, I guess true. That was a good Bubba day to have you on a Monday.
You know, but no, I love it. And again, she does a good job. You got to watch it. But Netflix is right, and it's funny because last week I co-hosted with Maria Barroa, Mornings with Maria, and that was the day that Netflix was going over 700. And I said on air, I said, look, I tell you what, okay, I love Netflix myself. I think it's a great product, okay? I mean, I have it. I use it. I think it's terrific. However, at 397 times P.E. ratio, not a chance. And if it's me and I'm on the floor right now, I'm selling with both hands until my hands bleed. That's an old trader statement back from the 80s. And of course, obviously, it dropped, you know, $60. And more importantly, is I had some trades that I had recommended on air, okay, to a lot of my people. And everyone was nervous. What do I do? And oh, my God. And I go, look, it went up 50. It can go down 50 just as easily. And of course, it did. But my point is great company, but I don't see the value, Angie. And I also see that if they continue to do well, original content costs money. And if they don't have something, and I see some major competition coming in this space, unless something goes on, and I don't see it at this value. Again, love the company, but I don't see it going to the moon anymore. In fact, I see it starting to work its way lower. What do you think?
I think you're being a wise trader. I think I would probably at least lighten my load a little bit if I was a long-term holder. But, hey, you never know. You know me. I'm hold it till you die kind of a gal. It's been a lot of fun watching this stock. And that's one of the reasons why I love doing my show is I have the smartest traders on ever. And they are the real stars of my show. And I've heard some guys make some calls. And you're right. The pro traders are all saying, take a little money off the table. You're saying, take it way off the table, because people have made big money in this stock. I mean, this was a stock that was $8.
I know.
Unbelievable move. And now, you know, it's hot and heavy, and the 7-for-1 split's coming up. And I heard a lot of warnings from traders not to chase the split, not to try to get in now because it's so high. And maybe it will do what we saw in Apple, which is when they did the split, the stock actually pulled back. And so there was a buying opportunity if you just held out a bit. I don't know. What do you think? Would you hold out for maybe a lower number on Netflix? Because I know there's people who do want to get in because it's been just a terrific product. I mean, what a great invention. And I think I read somewhere Marriott Hotels is going to be putting Netflix in its rooms. And so, I mean, the growth has just been phenomenal.
I think it's great. I think it's great, and I do see part of what you're talking about with Apple, you know, where it could sell off a little bit and then come back. And again, I don't, you know, no, I'm not a big fan. Again, to me, when I look at a company, I've got to see the dynamics that they can actually really make real money. And unfortunately, in Netflix's case, I just don't see that yet. Right. They're in my eyes, but now they could catch up. But see, I believe that if they're really good and it really becomes better than it is. And again, I have it. So I'm a big fan of the program. Right. I own Netflix. I watch it all the time. And I think it's great. And it's great for the millennials because half of them don't own TV sets anyways. You mentioned that earlier that they stream most of the time. And when they buy an apartment, they don't buy a TV. They watch on their computer. And this is what could be better than to have your own streaming content? I don't see the numbers. And this Netflix does remind me of, you know, the 90s, the internet bubble type of situation. You know, again, love the product. A little bit different because they're not just, you know, click rates and all that other stuff. But I do see a little stormy weather in front of Netflix. But love the concept, love the company. And, you know, if I were to buy, you know, would I look at it maybe at $50? Yeah, maybe. Okay. But I'd have to see, you know, some better stuff. Of course, using my same logic, you know, I can't figure out Amazon either. I mean, Amazon's at over 400 PE. And I understand all the dynamics, but to me, that doesn't also logically make sense, which is why, you know, I was a big rooter on of Amazon back in when it was about $30, $40 in right after the collapse. But since then, you know, once it got to, you know, 200 and 300 and 400, I go, well, getting a little bit out of a line for me. But, you know, Angie, I think what I'd really like to know from you, and because you are so heavily involved in options, is there ever, are we ever going to get volatility again, or are we just totally going to be done?
Well, according to the quotes I've been hearing on the floor, you might have to wait a while. Now, I know the Greece issue has been big, but there just is relative calm happening. Premiums cheap or inexpensive, and so traders love to take advantage of that. With hitting summer, you know what that means. Business tends to slow down a bit sometimes, not all the time. But at the same time, we do have the new earnings season rolling around. So that could maybe bring some volatility to the market. I know people were positioning early in Alcoa and all the standards. Maybe that will do it. Maybe this Greek situation. But that's a tough call. What do you think?
You know, I've been through this so many times, and, you know, this really reminds me a lot of 2004 when I was actually trading in an office with my partner. My partner now lives in Las Vegas. And for you guys who are wondering who it is the Badger who appears on the show all the time. But, you know, we sat in an office together. We looked at each other and said, are we ever going to make money again? Because there's nothing going on. And, you know, I mean, it will come back. I do not believe that it is Greece. I think this Greece thing is totally overblown. I don't think anybody really cares. I mean, I think the truth of the matter, in my opinion, and again, my opinion only, is that Chancellor Merkel would like to throw them out under potatoes and say, get out of here. We don't want you. But the reason that they're negotiating with them is because they're concerned about not Greece, because Greece has the GDP of the state of Indiana, but they're worried about Portugal and Spain, which could create a problem down the road. And that is what they're worried about, those nations defaulting, not Greece itself. And I think that's the real stick. But I think traders, based on what you're watching, Angie, in my eyes, traders are not concerned because there is no volatility. The markets certainly have not shown any reason to be concerned. And so I don't think, in my eyes, Greece means anything. What do you think?
I agree. Greece makes up, 1% of the actual money coming into the Eurozone. It's just not that big of a deal, not that big of a trading partner. I mean, I agree with you 1,000%. I think that people are very much on this Fed watch as well. And I, what do you always say, though? Don't sell a dull market.
That's
right. Don't buy a dull market.
You never sell into a dull market, because markets are predisposed to go higher. Because, you know, there's always money flowing in from pensions and 401ks. And if there is no sellers, then the market is going to at worst drift. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a market. Did you know, by the way, that the pattern we're in now and have been so for the last six months is the tightest consolidation range since the year of 1900?
Wow. So we are in a tight trading range.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why people use options, because you can still make money in a sideways market, correct?
That's right, Angie. And when you come back next time, you'll tell everybody how they can make money in a sideways market, because it is something that Bubba here, I teach all the time, because, you know, the nice thing about options is there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, and you know, we know how to do it, which is why we do a lot of consulting to big hedge funds and tell them how to do it, because most people, other than, you know, professionals, don't really understand the option market. Angie Miles, you are awesome, and congratulations on the new Russell Show on Fridays at CBOE-TV and your everyday show on CBOE-TV, Angie Miles. Angie, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure. I love it. Thank you for having me on.
This has been Angie Miles from CBOE-TV. She's got two shows there now. We're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, every Tuesday, I do BNN. And a very interesting week last week. With what was going on with Facebook and Netflix and, you know, I had the opportunity to be on with my man, Michael Hainsworth from BNN in Canada on Tuesday. And I want to go ahead and let you listen back to what I said back last Tuesday with Michael Hainsworth on BNN. Check it out.
To the chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com, Todd Horowitz joins us. Todd, good to have you with us again.
Hi, Michael. How you doing, man?
Well, not bad. Better on my side of the fence than yours with the TSX, another triple-digit gain. What happens with the S&P 500 as it starts to slowly roll over and threaten to close negative?
You know, Michael, we're at a point, as you've mentioned it with the TSX, you've got a lot of light volume. So there's really not a lot of interest. We're really in kind of summer trading, which is always a part of the trading game. Plus the fact that you've got so much uncertainty throughout the world, but we have the chase for yield. So a lot of heavy buyers aren't stepping in right now, jumping in to buy, but they're also not selling. They're just kind of hanging around that neutral, kind of like the S&P, right around the flat line.
Okay, let's talk stocks. Or turkey, as the case may be. Facebook here. You're a fan of Facebook. I'm looking at it at a 52-week high. It's moved into overbought territory on the relative strength index. The herd mentality is pretty strong, but for how much longer is the trend a friend of Facebook?
You know, Facebook was looked good when it broke through 80, and then 85 was a level I was watching actually try to take a stare from the short side as a trader, and it blew through there like nothing. Now, I'm not a new buyer of new money up here. I like the stock, and I want to find an opportunity to buy it. I think you're right. We're probably a little bit overdone to the upside, but I would certainly take a good look at it if it came back to 85. I think that's probably a great level as we broke through that number, like as I said, a hot knife through butter. So as you come back to that, that should now act as support. So I don't want to get involved. If they're going to continue to chase it up here, we all see what happens when they continue to chase stocks up. Just take a look at Umbrella from last week when it was 124, now it's 95. You have to watch these stocks and don't jump in here, but look for a level now. The stock itself looks great. They've got a lot of good news coming. It seems that they've found their way from that initial IPO of 2 years ago, and now look for like an 85 level for a spot to start nibbling at that stock and look for it to then track back higher. But to chase it up here, no way I'm buying it on the way up, but I do like the stock and I do like the company.
I do see where you're getting that $85 handle from. Late March, late April, both times, traded around the $85 mark, couldn't break above it, found some support on that around 83 to 85. So to your point, what's the buying opportunity here? What's the trigger that pushes it lower to get you in?
You know, I think what happens, we see this a lot in stocks in our markets, we have over-exuberance, the herd mentality. Too many people jumped in. Now, the professionals, the guys that are in that help push it up, are now going to start taking some profit. At some point, profits need to be taken. And what will happen is you'll get profit takers will walk in, and then what will happen is the week longs or the ones who tried to buy it quickly for just a quick trade, trying to make a couple of bucks, they're going to be forced to sell quickly because that's why we call them the weak hands. So the strong hands, I think, are going to push the market down a little bit, and they'll wipe out the weak hands, looking actually for a spot to buy, which I think, again, is back around that $85 level. But it's very common in all markets. I mean, we see it happen all the time, especially in commodities, which Canadians are more familiar with as a rule. They overshoot their mark, and then, of course, the markets turn around and go the other way. And that's what I think we'll see here. I think we'll see probably a little bit of a sell-off in the next couple of days, and then I think you look at 85 as a spot to step in and get long.
Would you say the same out of Netflix? I see it's also near a 52-week high. It's well above support, and the herd mentality, that relative strength index, is in overbought territory as well. If you saw the gains of, 55%, like we've seen on this one-year chart, would you engage in a little profit-taking on Netflix?
I would listen. I'm a seller of Netflix, and in full disclosure, I mean, I've been trying to short Netflix for a while. Okay, so I don't understand the valuation of the company. I think they're extremely overdone. I think the stock is way overvalued up here, and I think what's going to happen and what you're going to see happen is you're going to see a much heavier dose of competition. You know, there's a lot of people that nibble around in this space, but nobody's really taken Netflix this seriously. And now that you see what they've been able to do and what Hastings has been able to do with this stock, and this stock is just going ballistic, at some point this stock's going to get cut in half, I would say, by 30 to 50% without a problem.
What?
But again, it's still flying high. I'm not going to try to pick the top here, but I'm certainly got my fingers on the sell button because I definitely want to get short this because I do not see
the valuation, and I will expect to see a tremendous amount more competition in this space. And don't be surprised if Apple or Google step in this space with them and really try to pound them down. I mean, I think what we're seeing is that this is probably one of the best spaces, and we've seen some small competitors come in, but you have not seen a major player come in and try to take them on yet in this space.
30 to 50% haircut, Todd, though. That would be remarkable. This is the company with the first mover advantage. It's the Kleenex of streaming video. Apple's got iTunes, but I don't remember the last time I was willing to pay for a movie since I'm paying $8 already for Netflix.
Do you remember DirecTV? Do you remember RCA when they had the satellite? They were the first ones as well. And where's Dish and DirecTV right now? They're about $9. So again, first doesn't make you best. First, if you're smart enough to get out and take your profits, it makes you great. But if you're not smart enough to get out and you're going to stay in this space, I think they're going to be in for a hurting. And listen, we all know one thing for sure, right? The markets themselves are going to correct. Now, they may not correct tomorrow, but they are going to correct. This is not an old story. Markets have corrections. We see it all the time. And this market is in a bubble territory, and Netflix is the leader of the bubbles.
Well, good to have you with us, sir. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Todd.
And that was me with Michael Hainsworth on last Tuesday. And, of course, we saw Netflix immediately sell off about $50-$60. And, you know, again, I look at that space and I go, no way. You know, you have to at some point. Now, I'm not a fundamental trader. I am a technical trader. But you sometimes have to look at the fundamentals and then gauge where you're going from. And that there is exactly what I see is this stock probably heading significantly lower from here, because again, valuations, the overall excitement and exuberance in a Netflix is done, right? The fast money has already made their money here. This is, we always have to take into consideration, and this is the importance when you look at markets, and this is where many people fail, is they try to chase tops or bottoms, doesn't matter, and they try to buy it hard into this major rally. But what happens, and this is where you want to take a look at it, what happens when the buyers run out? In other words, when there's nobody left to buy, who's going to buy it? Where's the money going to come from to continue to support this stock? All the people that have wanted to get in are in. And you saw that very much similar to what we call a blow-off type pattern. And the stock went from 650 to 705 in a couple of days. Okay. Now, again, you know, I talk about this often, and it's important to understand that, you know, when you take it down, you know, $50 or $60 sounds like a lot of move, but when you know, you take it down, you make this a $60 stock, it still made a $5 move. So it made a 10% move in a couple of days. Now, that is typically well overdone and well overvalued. And when you're looking at from a trader's perspective, you go, oh, okay, it's gone up awfully quick, probably looking for a little bit of sell-off. And sure enough, there came the sell-off. And not surprising, just like we'll see anywhere else. And those are markets, those are things you look at in any market when a stock, commodity goes anywhere way too fast. Okay, that means that the overall exuberance was there. But eventually, as we know, the excitement wears off, cooler heads prevail, and profit taking comes in, and that's what we saw there. These are kinds of things that you can also get from the Bubba Report. Now, the new Bubba Report will be out tomorrow, and I urge you to get signed up for it. I'm telling you now that this is the best document, the best report that you can ask for as an individual investor, because you've got views of the greatest minds on Wall Street coming from all different angles, giving you ideas as to what is going to happen next and why. And that includes Keith Bliss, Scott Chalady, The Badger, Bonnie Pittenger, myself, Steve Kalasian, all people that have over 200 years in this industry. So check it out. $99 a year gets it to you. All you have to do is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for it. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. This is The Bubba Show. Everybody have a great day, and we will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.